May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 281. The Lord will happiness divine on contrite hearts bestow. Then tell me, gracious God, is mine a contrite heart or no? Hymn 281.
Thank you. let us read from the Word of God in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, reading part of the chapter from the beginning, and also reading in John 14. Jeremiah, chapter 29. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. After that, Jeconiah the king, and the queen, and the eunuchs, and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, and the carpenters, and the smiths, were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elazar, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build ye houses, and dwell in them, and plant gardens, and eat of the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters, and take wives of your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets nor your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. As well, we read, friends, there in the book of the prophet. Let us also read John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, we come before thee once more. O do grant to us each, Lord, a breath of real prayer, that we may come together to the footstool of mercy at the throne of grace, who knoweth personally and individually we need to call upon thee, O God. O thou hast said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Thou knowest how it is, how it has been with us, Lord. Oh, we especially think of this in that way of considering, and we hope, remembering, acknowledging, thou didst bring us into a day of trouble, even soul trouble. And Lord, we did have to call upon thee, and we do still. And Lord, oh, thou knowest how it is with each one of us here, whether this is so or no. Oh Lord, hast thou begun with us? Lord, may this be in each one a question, a solemn, important question. Lord, oh, thou knowest how each soul gathered here now come. They come week by week on the Lord's day, and most of them, Lord, in a week too. And Lord, we gather, Lord, we meet at thy command. We gather together ourselves unto thee, we trust. Lord, oh, what is it, Lord? And may we examine ourselves and examine our lives, Lord, whether we are gathered unto thee, whether we come, Lord, only merely out of custom, or according to how we've been brought up, or Lord, in a way of a self-righteous way, thinking that we're doing what we should and God will accept us. Lord, we pray we may be here gathered today, truly spiritually exercised. May it be a question in each one, Lord. What am I and where am I? And Lord, to consider one's own place and standing and how we're living. And how we're living, Lord, and who knoweth what we've read in the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thy purpose for thy people whom thou caused to be carried away captive, Lord, through their idolatry and sin. And Lord, thy purpose was to give them an expected end. And Lord, what is it? Even with us, what is that which is in thy holy will? Is that expected end concerning each one of us? Lord, thou knowest how the word came, and how, Lord, we've been exercised to come here this morning to be with our friends, Lord, that we might know and prove thy wonderful presence, Lord, as our friend has prayed before the service, and we trust many have. And Lord, regarding all our lives, our pathways, oh Lord, that we may be blessed to consider, Lord, how we stand before thee, and do we know thy love? Hast thou set thy love upon us? Are we truly thy people by grace? Lord, these important questions, oh, we pray they will come today and put them out of question for one and another. Yea, O Lord, may it in thy time be so for everyone. We have the burden of each soul upon us, Lord. Oh, thou knowest, Lord. We are concerned and we know we are accountable. Standing before thee and before the people, Lord, standing in thy name. Oh, Lord, thou gavest us, we believe, in the beginning of our ministry, that solemn commission to blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. And Lord, when thou hast helped us, Lord, and we have blown the trumpet and thou hast worked, oh, we have been so greatly humbled and feel it now. Oh, Lord, thy profound dealings in souls, Lord, with precious souls, and thy work, Lord, appearing unto thy servants. Lord, we pray for this more and more. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And, O Lord, let thy work yet appear here, who knowest how it has done under thy profound purposes, Lord. Love and mercy, how thou hast worked, what thou hast done, how thou hast worked in precious souls. We look for more, Lord. We are very covetous, Lord, in this way, for thy glory. Oh, that thou wast work and bless souls, and do them good, and get to thyself the honour and glory due unto thee, according to thy holy will, Lord, of covenant love, thy purposes of love and mercy. Let thy work appear, Lord, and as thou hast that purpose, Lord, like as we've read the words of thee, thou dear Son of God, to thy disciples, oh, and that expected end which is always in thy holy mind and will for thy dear people. And Lord, thou hast said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Lord, oh, this is our hope. Oh, our hope for heaven, our hope for all eternity, built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So, Lord, we beg thee to come today and favour us here as we are gathered here. And may there be in thy holy purpose a blessing for six and for seven and for eight, according to thy will, and all Lord, everyone, all what thou hast purposed, Lord. We humbly trust thou wilt so cause to appear, even here today. And Lord, that thou would suit thy blessing to each soul, we beg, each one's case, Lord, thou knowest. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint, and all, we could put it with the hymn writer, every sinner's peculiar case, thou knowest, Lord. Those that are by calling saints, those that are by calling saints are all taught sin's demerit, and gladly own salvation free. Lord, do come and work, and bless souls, and get to thyself the honour and glory due unto thee. We remember friends, Lord, that are away seeking rest and change. Our dear beloved friend, thy servant the deacon, the friends here away with his dear one in Scotland, Lord. Lord, we can a little picture, Lord, them up there. But Lord, them know if we expect, Lord, they will be finding their way to worship, Lord, today. Oh, bless them where they are, given to so venture to gather, Lord, with thy people. And, Lord, watch over and keep them, Lord. The strong winds that there's been, we do hope, pray they are kept safe, Lord. We know what if they're caravanning, Lord, as we have done much. Lord, here we pray, think of them and beg thee, keep them safe, Lord, especially travelling on the roads, Lord, if they travel from place to place. Watch over and keep them, Lord, and bring them back safely, Lord, we beg. And Lord, oh, we pray for others away, Lord, where they are. And we pray for a dear young soul, a dear friend, Lord, now settled, we understand, in York for her university, Lord, training and degree, Lord, that she hopes to achieve, Lord. We beg thee, Lord, watch over her and keep her. Keep her from all harm, Lord, and keep her from wrong company, Lord. Who knows her dear godly parents will be anxious, but, Lord, they have and know the throne of grace, Lord, and who cause her to pray for help, Lord, and for thy keeping too. Bless her, Lord, and help her and prosper her. We beg thee, Lord. We think of others we know of who are in such places, Lord, one from our cause, Lord, gone yesterday to settle, Lord, at Guildford. Lord, be with her, Lord, and help her, and bless her, keep her, Lord. And Lord, who knoweth, we know of others, and Lord, we should multiply words would not be needful, Lord. Thou knowest all what we are burdened for. And praying, Lord, for all our loved ones in our families. Lord, the concern we carry, thou knowest day by day, and bring them unto thee and cast them upon thee. A great burden, continuing burden for their never dying souls. Lord, where they have their own natural minds strong, and some as vile rebels even stopping their ears, Lord, and headlong urging their wild career. Lord, we know, we know by our own experience they weren't able to stop them in their wild career, turn them round, if it be thy will. Then know if we cast their great burden of their souls upon thee. We beg thee, hear us. We wait upon thee, Lord. We watch and wait. And Lord, oh, as thou didst see us when we were ruined in the fall. Oh, he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. We can testify it by thy grace. And we know thou art able, if thy love is set upon those we love, thou wilt do thy work. This is our confidence, Lord, this is our hope. Oh, Lord, thy will shall be done. Oh, Lord, thy will be done. We trust desire this. We wait upon thee in this way. And, Lord, praying, Lord, where we need it for submission to thy will. Lord, oh, help us. Help us, grant us all needed grace. Oh, grace, Lord, sufficient thou wilt give. The apostle gives witness of it. And, oh, many have proved it, Lord. And, oh, many, many have testified of it. Lord, the great cloud of witnesses of those of Old Testament saints, Lord, how they died in faith. They lived by faith. They were saved by grace. Lord, we pray so as we consider these things of thy wonderful word and the record of scripture. Oh, we wait upon thee, trust in thee, the Lord our God, that thou wilt bless and help. Grant us grace to endure to the end, to persevere and to press on to perfect day. Oh, Lord, lead us in the way everlasting. Help us each day by day. Be with afflicted friends, Lord. You know, especially we think of those that we've had much on our mind for weeks now, Lord. Our dear friend, dear friend and brother we love in thy name, dear Michael Bailey in the hospital at Ashford, who knoweth, Lord, how we so feel greatly for his dear one, dear Margaret, and the family. A long time of affliction now of our dear friend and brother. Go to him, Lord, especially bless him in his soul, Lord, and be with him. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, we prayed it many times, and now as we would not be in repetition, Lord, wrongly. But, Lord, would it please thee to raise him up, strengthen him. Oh, we know his case is serious, very serious. Lord, thou knowest, thou art the good physician. We beg thee for him, Lord. Bless him in his soul, Lord. Oh, comfort him, Lord. Could it please thee to lead him into Isaiah 40, comfort ye my people, saith your God, and he might know the comfort of thy love, Lord, and the wonderful assurance of his standing. His dear one too, dear Mr. Pond, dear friend Philip, Lord, thou knowest we are praying that this new arrangement for the physiotherapy might be used for his good, that he may be able to walk again, if it be thy will. Lord, there are others, many others, Lord, thou knowest, as we know so many up and down across the land. We pray for all in affliction. Oh, Lord, could it please thee to raise up and strengthen, and where it is thy will, and bless, and prepare, Lord, thy people for thy will. Oh, Lord, may this be our concern to pray, Lord. Oh, that thus we may be submissive where it is needed we should be, Lord, to thy will. And Lord, to honour thee, our God, our sovereign God, all must come and last an end, as shall please my heavenly friend. Bless us, Lord, in this, and all our friends, we beg thee. We pray for those dear friends who have recently lost loved ones. Comfort them, Lord. Oh, help, bless, and comfort them, Lord. And we pray, Lord, for our country, thou knowest, Lord, our burden for it. Lord, our Prime Minister, having had to come home from those discussions this week, Lord, and what she had put forward, so sadly rejected by the European Union, Lord, the delegates there of the various countries, Lord, not receiving what she put forward. Lord, oh, thou knowest all. Thou knowest the end from the beginning. We pray, do help us still, Lord. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the mixed feelings we have for the way she has worked and gone into things, Lord, and what she has said. And, Lord, oh, she had what we would hope was a good roots and upbringing, but Lord, oh, the treachery and sadness of the things that she's accommodated, Lord, and spoken as agreeing with, Lord, thou knowest, do deal with her, Lord. We know she has a never dying soul, Lord, thou knowest our burden for her, and for all in government, Lord, in high places, and to Her Majesty the Queen, our Sovereign Lady, Lord, we beg thee, oh, for her, bless her, Lord, in her old age. Oh, in mercy still look upon England. Enter not into judgment, most strict with us, Lord, we deserve it. We are under judgments, the mighty winds that have beaten upon our land, Lord. But we think of how much worse in other parts of the world. But Lord, oh, there has been thy voice. We remember many years ago, the late Mr. Joe Wright, the minister from Western Inn, who we love so much at Stockholm, and how he spoke to us after we'd had the winds on the Thursday or Friday, that terrible hurricane that struck us, sweeping down so many trees. And Lord, thou knowest how he spoke. Solemnly, how God visited us with his wrath. And Lord, oh Lord, it is so. Oh, we know thou holdest the wind in the hollow of thy fist. Lord, thou art God over all. Thou art on the throne. We beg thee, still have mercy upon us in England. In wrath, remember mercy. Oh Lord, help us to leave all natural things, Lord, at the foot of the mount. Come and favour us here, Lord. Bless souls. Do them good. Encourage poor sinners, Lord, who feel dismayed and troubled and burdened. Oh, reveal thyself, Lord, the friend of sinners great. Oh, a refuge sure and nigh. There is all our hope in thee, dear refuge of my weary soul. On thee when sorrows rise. Lord, may we be looking unto thee. There we said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. So help us, Lord, we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 630. I realise, friends, we sang this last week, but I feel led to give it out again. What foolish worms are we, how prone to start aside, and in our troubles flee from Jesus' wounded side, to wait on self or something base, instead of trusting sovereign grace. Hymn 630.
Thank you.
I believe the Lord has given me to bring before you this morning is in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, and the 11th verse. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And the context, friends, I believe as we read on especially, so agrees with what we've just been singing, and especially waiting upon the Lord, calling upon the Lord, and praying to the Lord, as the dear prophet here so gives it by the Holy Ghost to the dear people the letter is to. Friends, when we were come to the Amen and the benediction after the last evening at Hand Cross, my heart was going like this to the Lord. Lord, do now give me a word for Swavesey for tomorrow morning, if it be thy will. And immediately the words came, just a few words came, to give them an expected end. And as one drove home, most of the journey silent, my wife rather drowsy, and we were driving home and I was meditating, to give them an expected end. And it all opened up, this verse of the scriptures opened up to me, and the wonderful thoughts that God thinks toward his people, that he's thought toward his people from eternity, and as to eternity his thoughts are. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows everyone perfectly, completely, whom he set his love upon, and he of course has his sovereign purpose to save them by his grace and have them for his praise. I'm speaking him and his God, Jehovah, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, one God, bless him forevermore. And he has of course chosen his people, set his love upon his people. We know the context is as literally and naturally relating to Israel, and we know how the people, so many were carried away captive, and of course it was set in the mind of God that they should be in Babylon 70 years. There were those who thought different. There were those false prophets that even prophesied they would return much sooner. But it wasn't so. The will of God was done. And the true prophets like Jeremiah knew. And it was those 70 years. But they were brought to return. For the hearts of all men are in God's hand. The heart of those in high places in Babylon were all under God's control. They couldn't do anything more or before or above what God had decreed would be done. Of course, the children of Israel were carried away captive because of their sin, God's displeasure to them. And all that is here in the context. But of course, it has a wonderful deep couch beneath. And this is what we want to consider, friends. And it may be personally given to us and applied to us each year as we are, we hope, by grace, concerned about our own personal path and place in time and standing and for eternity. Where shall I spend eternity will be what each one of God's dear people are brought to bring and pray to God in questions and have concern over. Is it given to you? To you and to me? To be concerned about the end? You say, what do you mean? The end of our lives? When we come to the end of our life here in time, where will we be? Where shall I spend eternity? We know there is but one of two destinies for the whole of humanity. And this is what is the great part of the concern about all what is in the context to me, friends, and I hope to you. There is one or another destiny. God Almighty is holy, holy, holy. He's the sovereign Lord God. He has his holy, perfect will, his holy mind and will, what God has decreed before the world for all humanity will be brought to pass. Nothing will be different to what God decreed and what he agreed in covenant in the Holy Trinity of Persons shall be fulfilled. What God has spoke, what he's recorded in the record of heaven will be fulfilled, and there will be a great vast number of humanity lost forever and cast away. And God is just and righteous still, will be ever just and righteous still. But there will be a great number which no man can number that will be in heaven with God. And safe landed home in felicity and joy and pleasures evermore, but the wicked into everlasting torment. Friends, these are the solemn truths, holy solemn truths of God. And God is almighty and he is sovereign, and none can stay his hand or say what do he say. But friends, come into this. Here we know the word is to the people of Israel in Babylon. That is what is it as it is on the face page of the word and in the scriptures. But to it as the deep, as I said. And I want to come to this, to individual souls, each one of us here. May the Lord give you to be able to follow a poor preacher in his words. I hope there'll be good words, right words that God pours in and I pour out to you. God says, and this is to individual souls, I believe in the spiritual way of it. God says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The thoughts that God thinks, that he says, I think toward you. Each one of his people. Each one of his people who shall be blessed and saved by grace. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. It's so profound, isn't it? For us mortal people on the earth to think of God, Jehovah, and his thoughts. But he gives it in his word. He gives it here in his word. And you see, as the Lord here has recorded to the ministry of his dear prophet, you know, he does and has done many times, and he, I believe, has a purpose too today to apply his word to cases here in Swavesey Chapel. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. And oh, how wonderful it is. And God will give us faith to believe it and receive it if he has his purpose to work in us today. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh, is it coming to you, any one and another of you, whom God has made to be concerned and exercised you regarding your life and your death, and how you will be, how you are now, and how you will be in all eternity? Has he begun to so cause you to have a solemn concern regarding your never-dying soul, and regarding, yes, of course, all your life here below, but you don't know how long it will be, how many days you have on earth, but you will be shown by God that after death, the judgment, and after death, that immediate entering into after death, into eternity, that everlasting experience of continuing, not death and annihilation, as it were, and an end and a perishing away to nothing, but a continuing in eternity. And there's no time in eternity, it's forever and ever. And is it given to you to be by God made concerned and to ask the question, solemn question, vital, important question, where shall I spend eternity? Oh, is it given you so to be solemn, deeply, solemnly concerned about this? Yes, of course, it's important, it's right, we should be concerned about our lives and how we are provided for, and how we are able, given to be able to gain our livelihood and live our lives in a way of decency and under God's provision of us being able to earn the bread that perishes, and have our supplies day by day, and our livelihood. But greater than this, higher than this, most vitally more important than this, is, are we being prepared for eternity? Because you think of how the Lord in his word so puts it in many places, expressing and showing the brevity of life, the ways in which we read in the word, we all do fade as a leaf. There are the figures of the flower that fadeth, how the people are grass. Surely the people are grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And friends, there is so much in the word of God, and of course so much all around us, as we go about the streets, see the mourners going about the streets, there are so many taken and die, and we're witnesses of them leaving this world, and the place that knew them where, as we have known them, knows them now no more forever, and they've gone into eternity, and we shall. And we know not how soon. We do need, friends, to be prepared. You, every one of you need, and I need to be praying, prepare me, gracious God. And that will be so if God gives us to be solemnly aware as he shows us, reveals to us the greatness of importance of this. Yes, we have the importance of our daily lives, but it's so much smaller and less in importance than the importance of being prepared for eternity, friends. And I believe God will bring everyone who he loves to be so concerned in these ways. And he, of course, like we have it in the Word here, knowing the end from the beginning and having his sovereign purpose for his people to give them an expected end. Expected end in his, according to his holy will, his expected end for every one of them. And that is sure and it's certain. He will never lose one of his people. He will never relinquish at last a sinner once signally blessed. Is he dealing with thee in mercy? Is he dealing with thee, working in thee, teaching thee? Has he brought you to know his blessing? To know him, whom to know is life eternal, to know Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, he who has come to this earth and suffered the just for the unjust, and who has redeemed the church. Oh, to so be brought by God under God's love and mercy, to be concerned for our never-dying souls, and here we stand before him, knowing that it's either heaven or hell before us. Oh, to be concerned, make me right. Keep me right. Save me, Lord. You know how the characters who were made by God concerned about their case, about their condition, cried to the Lord that he might, so in mercy, do for them what they couldn't do for themselves. You see, he gave them grace. He gave them exercise. He gave them to know their need. He gave them a plea. He gave them to begin to pray to God, Lord, save. I think of Peter on the water when he tried to walk to the Lord, and he cried out, Lord, save or I perish. And that didn't mean in his case that he would perish away to nothing. But he was so seeing the wind boisterous and the waves, and knowing he would sink and sink. And this is it, friends. We sink and sink and sink forever if we die out of Christ. Oh, it's a going down into that place of the damned. But God's people are brought to cry, Lord, save or I perish. Save me, O God, my spirit cries, and on thy faithful word is relies. Save me from sin, my desperate foe, that fills my soul with every woe. And all those pleas of saving in that same hymn, friends. You need them and I need them. We need to be crying to God. But oh, here wonderful are these words. Oh, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. God, Jehovah's thoughts. God by the Spirit speaking through the prophet, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You know all God's thoughts, as we would just touch upon it, as regarding his people carried away captive to Egypt, to Babylon. You know they were there those 70 years, but his thoughts to them were thoughts of peace and not of evil. Oh, they had to be dealt with for their idolatry. They had to be corrected as a national people and then to return. And we know even still in the sad state of how the Jews are, having rejected the Messiah, and how they're living, how they're a persecuted people so much. But God in his holy mind, I believe it's clear in Scripture, he has that set T time, that set day and time which will come, when the veil shall be taken away from the Jews' eyes, and his people then, he will so bless and favour them. And that day will come when the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. I believe that. I believe the Lord will then return. He will come again the second time. But friends, these things particularly I want to pursue personally with us, for each of us, each one of you. You have, and I have, a never-dying soul, and we are all living our lives and going on toward the end, which God knows absolutely the moment of. We know not. He knows the end from the beginning. But is it a blessed, glorious end he has in his holy thoughts for you and for me? Oh, friends, do as God may help you. Do seriously consider it. Personally, it will be with trembling before God, because God is so great, so holy. Oh, in completeness, his greatness, in completeness, his holiness, his majesty, his justice. And he will do right according to his holy will, what is decreed, was decreed in covenant, in the holy trinity of persons, what God has decreed. And who can we know? Who can we know that we are one of the chosen objects of God's love? Well, it's by seeking, it's by prayer, it's by begging of the Lord, it's by God making us concerned to so be in feeling need and concern and praying to God, Lord, Lord, hear my poor cries as I beg for thee to so reveal to me. Jesus, reveal thyself to me. You need him, friends. We're brought to need Jesus Christ. You know we need him as poor, needy sinners. We are brought to seriously consider, know our need of a Saviour. We need a Saviour, because we can never save ourselves. We can never make ourselves right. And God will teach all these things of the reality of what we are and where we are. He will teach everyone he loves these things of that they must know and feel the seriousness of the condition they are in as needy before God, and God needing God to save them. And so wonderful it is when God, in his wonderful love and mercy, makes known to his people that he's concerned for them, that he loves them. See, here is set forth in this statement of the Lord his concern, his purposes for his people. Is he given it to you to know it, his purposes of love and mercy for you? You have evidence that he has so begun in this way to show to you that his love is toward you, his purposes of love and mercy for you, for your good, for your salvation, that he will have you, he has purpose to have you, chosen you to be with him forever in heaven. And for this he shall save you from hell. He saves from hell. We bless his name and draws our wandering feet to heaven. Do we have the light and favour that revealed to us that the Lord is so working in us for good? Can you go back? You know, I quoted in my prayer, I feel it much. I quoted it because it's in my experience, and I have to, I hope, loving acknowledgement, in love to my Lord and thankfulness to him, I have to keep acknowledging it before him. He saw me ruin in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. And you know, I believe I can say honestly, sincerely, truly, in the wonderful way, solemn way he begun in me, that was the first evidence that he loved me. Although I couldn't at that time really know it or feel it or understand it. But as I look back to it, how God first begun his work in me, I know and I acknowledge, I hope with humble thankfulness, his love to me in dealing with me, how he did, stopping me in my wild career, changing my heart and renewing my will. Now, I only say that not do I like my own experience, but have you got that in your experience that you know has taken place by God's, under God's love and mercy, that he has so done in you, dealt with you, you remember it and can never forget it, how he changed your heart and renewed your will and turned your feet to Zion's hill. It wasn't that you were perhaps not going to the Lord's house and not living outwardly a Christian life, but you were, living as you've been brought up a Christian life, so far as it is seen outwardly, but you didn't know Jesus Christ, you didn't need him. But he brought you to the time when you were made concerned to begin to pray and to know you needed Jesus Christ, to know you needed a Saviour. And God so worked to cause you to begin to become a seeker of Jesus Christ, one who had to be at the throne of grace. The Lord gave you to begin to pray to God in a way of real need. Is there this? Well, friends, of course, it was all within God's thoughts. His thoughts that he has thought toward thee from eternity and thinks toward thee still, the thoughts that I think toward thee. And his effectual work beginning in you, effectual calling, which really does confirm so wonderfully God's electing love, effectual calling, God affecting his people, effecting the beginning of his work in them, gives the true witness that he has chosen them before the foundation of the world. Let me put it like this, the opposite to show you. You see, if it was that you'd been left to just go on and on how you were, not made concerned about your soul and about eternity, well, there would be no evidence, really evidence, that God loved you. But there's evidence that he loves you and has set his eternal love upon you before the world because he's begun to deal with you. Now, is it so? Oh, if it is, there's good, wonderful, wonderful evidence that his thoughts that he thinks toward you are thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Oh, how important it is, friends, how good it is for each one of us to solemnly, seriously consider, is there the reality of this? The beginning of the work of grace, the beginning of God working in us. You know how the apostle, writing to the Philippians, has put it. So directly, straightly he put it. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And another closely parallel statement there in Philippians. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Now, friends, the thoughts that God says, I think toward thee, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give thee an expected end. Yes, thoughts of peace, and they are grounded upon the life and death and glorious resurrection of the Prince of Peace, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Thoughts of peace that God the Father has to his people, that he thinks towards his people as he sees them and knows them, is from that agreement in covenant of the Trinity, and the agreement in the Trinity, the Son of God, to come to the earth, and the fulfillment and the bringing it about in time of the Son of God coming to this world and stooping down to wretchedness and dust, the guilty worms, the hymn writer puts it, sweetly might rise. And he has come, we know the Son of God is come. John in his epistle gives clear acknowledgement of it. We know that the Son of God is come, and all what he accomplished here, and for sinners to be saved by grace. And oh, your hope now, if you're being taught of God, built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, can you say, is it in your heart to acknowledge it? I cannot trust on anything else, built on nothing less. Dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And he is made so precious to you. The thoughts that God thinks towards his people is that the Holy Spirit will work in them, is to work in them, and with those who are given to be witnesses of the work, the first work of the Spirit, and God going on to be gracious, the Spirit is working in God's people. Or is he working in you and me? And you know, the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, that God so, according to his will, his holy mind and will, his holy thoughts, his holy mind and will, the Holy Spirit works in poor sinners' hearts and souls. And the work, the Holy Spirit so works and brings a sinner to know and feel the blessedness of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirits that we are the children of God. Do you have the real witness of faith? Faith in God, faith in the bleeding lamb. Do you have that as the Holy Spirit, through the thoughts of God, Jehovah, of love and of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end and the will of God being done, as the Holy Spirit has begun the work in us, is carrying on the work in his people, and is dealing with us, is teaching us, is sanctifying us, is bearing witness, friends. He, the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God, the children of God, and if children, then heirs, joined heirs with Christ. Yes, God's thoughts to you. And the wonderful reality of experience, the experience of God's dealings with us, God's teachings. Oh, how one put it in a hymn, his inward teachings. Thy inward teachings make us know our danger and our refuge too. Yes, all from the holy thoughts of God that he thinks toward his people, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And all that favour God's people know in being brought to know and taste redeeming love. to the church of God have sold themselves away. Every one of the children of God have all sold themselves away, like it was acknowledged regarding Judah, treacherous Judah. The Lord says in another prophet, he said, ye have sold yourselves for naught, but ye shall be redeemed without money. And oh, this wonderful redemption in Christ Jesus is what the Holy Spirit so brings poor sinners to know their need of, and the revelation of Christ, and he being made so precious to his people. His people are so wonderfully favoured to be brought by the Blessed Spirit's teaching to believe in Jesus Christ, and to know him and live upon him. In him live and upon him cast our care. He saves from death, destruction and despair. God the Father's thoughts. Equally and in every way the same with the thoughts of the Son of God and the Blessed Spirit. The will of God to be done in those of all the election of grace, the children of God, by and in the will of God that shall be manifest in time. Oh, what have you and I got personally to give us to know and have clear witness that we are sons and heirs of God, children of God and joint heirs with Christ. It's what God does in us, friends, by the work and operation of the Holy Spirit, not leaving us to just go on in our natural lives with no concern about our souls, but bringing us to be solemnly in solemn knowledge of our need spiritually, and our need to cry and to pray to God, Lord, save me or I perish. Lord, save me from sin, my desperate foe. Fills my soul with every woe. And if you really feel your sin and guilt, you need forgiveness. You need the Saviour. You need Jesus Christ. And I believe that what will prove this, that you know and feel your need, is he becomes so precious. The Holy Spirit so gives you to be attracted, drawn to Christ. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace, causing them to hear his call. And his call is this, friends: come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Oh, learning of Jesus Christ in our need and for salvation, and by the and in the will of God, and by and through, and because of the thoughts of God Jehovah that he has toward us, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. And so, friends, you need Jesus Christ, and he is precious to you. Oh, this really is the test. Is he precious, friends? What think you of Christ? Oh, is he by the Spirit revealed to you? Is he made to you your best beloved? Oh, is it that he is first? Oh, the sweet memory we have of the just. I think of the godly that have gone before, God's servants that we knew and loved, like dear friend Mr. Wood, how he used to put it so lovingly, faithfully: Christ first, other people second, self last. I believe the way of the Spirit is to make us to become self-renouncing, grace admiring, made unto salvation wise, and it will be that also is penned in the way. Matchless love, matchless grace, our bosom firing. Oh, the love of Christ, the love of Christ to sinners, the love of God to poor sinners. And God wonderfully has that way, like one put it, a wonderful way of making love divinely known. It's by the work and operation of the Spirit in us. So Do we have this witness, friends? This is how I must leave you this morning. Do you have this witness of the work and operation of the Spirit in you, making you need salvation, making you to need to pray to God, to call upon God, to pray to God, give me Christ or else I die? Oh, knowing that we are such sinners, deserving hell. But God, in great mercy, has set his love upon even some of the worst of sinners. Yes, the very worst of sinners, who upon his grace rely, shall of endless bliss be winners, shall sing beyond the sky songs of praises to the Lamb that once did die. Whether you feel your sin in the early days in such a depth as some have, Lord is in the sovereignty of God, but he'll make you feel it in time, and you need the Saviour, you need the blood, precious blood of Jesus that was shed in Gethsemane and Calvary particularly, where it ran from his hands and feet and side. The atonement of Christ, you need that salvation which is by price paid, that redemption by price paid, the satisfying of the justice of God by Jesus Christ in and on behalf of every one of the children of God who God has set his love upon. Oh, Jesus Christ will be made so precious, so needful. He's needful, the one thing needful. Oh, the one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee, made so by grace, by the work and operation of the Spirit in us, by God so giving us to know and believe in Christ, to rely upon him wholly and completely for our salvation. Oh, and to live then to his praise, to so love him and obey his voice, like we concluded last evening at Hand Cross. Obey his voice and all his will esteem. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening and Mr. John Hart next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. Hymn 1072.
Thank you.
Yeah, Lord, do forgive anything there has seen amiss. You own and bless thy word, Lord. Oh, grant us meditation of thee. Lord, how humbling it is if we feel the favour, Lord, of the thoughts that thou dost think toward us. Oh, of thy holy will, thy love, thy loving kindness. Lord, bless the friends to meditate, and let us continue, Lord, in the sweetness of thy favour, Lord, we beg. We pray, Lord, be with us and come up with us this evening. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.